A Sustainable Mind, Episode 6. This is A Sustainable Mind podcast, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental changemakers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. Today, I am delighted to have on the show one of the biggest names in earth-conscious living, Bee Johnson. Since 2008, Bee Johnson and her family have been dedicated to living a zero-waste lifestyle. They generate a mere quart-sized jar of waste per year. Through her blog and with her book, Zero Waste Home, Bee launched a global movement and continues to inspire a growing community to live simply. She shatters misconceptions, proving that zero waste can not only be stylish, but also lead to significant health benefits and time and money savings. She travels internationally, speaking at universities, corporate events, and conferences, and has been dubbed the priestess of waste-free living by the New York Times. Welcome to the show, Bee.
Well, thanks for having me, Marjorie.
Absolutely. So I've given a brief intro, but why don't you go into a little bit more detail about your background and how sustainability played a part in your life growing up?
Well, actually, sustainability did not play a part in my life growing up. What happened to us was we were living out in the suburbs of San Francisco, and we were living in a large home because I had wanted to live the American dream. Mm-hmm. And we found, though, after living in that house for 7 years, that we were missing living within walking distance to things. Where we lived then meant that we had to take the car to go to the grocery store, the school, movie theater, restaurants. And we kind of missed the active lifestyle that we had known in the large cities that we had lived in before. So we decided to relocate to get closer to an active downtown where we could walk to things. And before finding the ideal home, we rented an apartment for a year, and we only moved in with the necessities. And it is during that year that we found that by living with less, all of a sudden we had more time to do the things that we enjoy doing. We had more time for our friends, our family, to go on picnics and go on hikes. So when we did find the ideal home in the downtown that interested us, we got everything out of storage, and we let go of about 80% of our belongings.
Wow.
And thanks to that voluntary simplicity, we were also then able to educate ourselves on environmental issues. We read some books, we watched some documentaries, and the things that we found out really made us sad, thinking about the future that we were going to leave behind for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to change our way of living and adopt a lifestyle that would be a bit more sustainable. So I started simply eliminating plastic bags by going to the store with my totes. And then I realized that I could buy a lot of my food in bulk. So then I made cloth bags out of an old sheet to purchase all our dry goods. And then I realized also that I could eliminate the meat, cheese, deli, fish wrapper if I just brought my jar to the counter. So little by little, we were able to eliminate every wasteful aspect of our lives. And today we've been living this lifestyle since 2008, and we could not be happier.
Wonderful. How many kids do you have, and how old are they?
I have two, and today they are 13 and 15.
So this transition happened when they were pretty young, but did they kind of notice that mom was making these decisions for the household and that it was drastically impacting their lives, or were they young enough where they kind of couldn't tell the difference?
They did not even notice that we were doing zero waste until I pointed it out to them.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was that when I was searching how to eliminate waste or how to reduce waste, and I found a term on the internet, zero waste. And the term back then was only used to describe industrial practices and waste management practices. So, but to me, that term made a lot of sense. I thought, well, if we're not for zero waste, then how much waste are we for?
Mm-hmm.
So we then applied it into our home, and it really gave us a goal to push things. But because I am the consumer really for the household, I am the one that grocery shops and buy the clothes, everything kind of went unnoticed. When I purchased our food in bulk, the kids didn't really notice that I had stopped buying the packaged ones. We once took a field trip to the health food store with their classroom, and the teacher asked, why is it a good idea to buy in bulk? And my younger son didn't say anything. And I thought, well, that's crazy. Out of all the kids, he should, you know, he should say, well, pick me, I know. And it just dawned on me at that time that all the things I had done at home had gone unnoticed, because children have simple needs. And as long as those needs are met, they're happy. As long as they have a cereal that they like in the morning, a cookie when they get home from school, they're happy. And it's I think generally it's the adults that create complicated needs for them.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And when it comes to your children attending school, now that they are getting, you know, towards the teenage years and they're seeing what their classmates are bringing to school to eat for lunch, or the clothes that they're buying or food that they're buying from the vending machine at school. I don't know if they go to a public or a private school or if they have vending machines, but what is their interaction with other students, and how do you think that they've impacted their peers?
So they go to a public school, but what they do is totally normal. I mean, my kids live a really normal lifestyle. Their friends might not even know that we live a zero-waste lifestyle, because they might not need to know. They would only need to know if they were to bring something into our home or try to give or want to give a gift to my children, in which case we would encourage them to give them a gift of experience instead of a thing. But because, you know, my kids are dressed from head to toe with secondhand clothes, but they don't look it. Their lunch is just as delicious as someone else's lunch. It might be wrapped in a towel, but the other kids don't care.
Right.
And when they bring their friends over, the kids will say, wow, your house looks very futuristic, because it's very minimalist. We only live with what we need. But they do think that it's kind of cool.
So what advice would you give to parents out there who are looking to make this transition, but they feel like other people in the household, either their children who might be teenagers or their spouse, might not be ready to make that leap? Because I think a lot of people feel that it's expensive, that it takes a lot of time, that they need to go and seek out all of these resources and these vendors or stores that offer these things in bulk. It's too much effort, and I'm not going to do that. What would you say to them?
I had heard about a zero-waste family back in 2006. I would have said the exact same thing. I would have said, that's not for me. I'm sure these people are living in the woods and they're like hippies. Or she's a stay-at-home mom with too much time in her hands. She probably spends her days working on her zero-waste. Well, it's not the truth at all. We lead a very modern life. I work full-time, and we found that the zero-waste lifestyle does not take more time, but actually less. My husband at first was not really on board with the zero-waste lifestyle, because he quit his job to start a sustainability consulting company in the midst of a recession, and he saw me going to the health food store and the farmer's market. He got worried for our finances. And so I encouraged them to compare our bank statements between our zero-waste lifestyle with our pre-zero-waste lifestyle. And that's when he found that we were saving 40% on our overall spending. This is due to the fact that, one, we consume way, way, way less than we did before. We're no longer adding things to our home. We're only replacing what needs to be replaced. A t-shirt that's too small, a tennis shoe that has a hole in it. And then when we buy a replacement, we buy it secondhand, which by definition is cheaper. Then we also purchase our food in bulk. And I have created an app called Bulk to help people locate bulk locations near them. Ah. It is populated by the zero waste community. So zero wasters are there, and it's an international app. The zero waste community that we've created is now sharing all these locations on the app. But when we purchase food in bulk, we save 15% automatically, because when you buy food that's packaged, 15% of the price covers the cost of the packaging. Mm-hmm. So by definition, you make an automatic 15% savings when you buy in bulk. And finally, we've replaced anything that's disposable for a reusable alternative. And that's something that anyone can do, regardless of where they live or their access to bulk foods. For example, we no longer use paper towels. We no longer buy them. We use rags instead. We no longer use facial tissue. We use handkerchiefs. We no longer use cotton balls. We use cotton rounds that are washable. Everything that we used to buy that's disposable, besides toilet paper, and I won't go into the details of that, but we purchase, we've replaced for a reusable alternative. And these reusables translate in cumulative savings over time that are huge. And actually for us, they've even allowed us to install solar on our roof, which then saves us even more. And then as far as the time savings, people tend to think that just because they see my life as complicated, but they only see it as complicated because they do not understand it. But if you apply the five rules of zero waste, of the zero waste lifestyle in order, and my five rules are: refuse what we do not need, reduce what we do need, reuse by buying secondhand and swapping anything that's disposable for a reusable alternative, recycling only what we cannot refuse, reduce, or reuse, and finally rotting, that is composting the rest, then we're actually preventing waste from coming into the in our home in the first place. So that means that we no longer have to go to the store to buy these things. We no longer have to throw them in our car. We no longer have to take it up our steps and then throw it in and then store it and then maintain it, or dispose of the packaging, which then we have to take back down to the curb, etc., etc. So by definition, the living simply does not complicate your life. It saves time in your life for what matters most to you.
Wonderful. I want to go back and address something that you said earlier. You were talking about your husband starting a sustainability consulting business. Was that correct?
Yes.
And is he still active in that business now?
No, he did that for 4 years, and it was really hard for us. Because again, he started in the midst of the recession. There was not a lot of demand for such practice back then. And after 4 years, the company decided to just split. Everyone went a bit different ways. And my husband went to Green IT first. And now he's a consultant for a company that has a software in managing the production line, or the manufacturing distribution line.
In reading your bio, you do a lot of talks at corporate events as well. And I was wondering if you thought that these practices were applicable or transferable to larger scale, like with corporations or large companies? And if so, how?
My talks are actually more targeted towards the consumer. Mm-hmm. So those companies are contacting me. The ones where I actually give a talk are bringing me in to speak to their employees to inspire them to adopt a zero waste lifestyle, okay, or at least reduce their waste. But that being said, I am also being consulted by large corporations, and I'm not allowed to say the names.
No problem.
But they, those large corporations have noticed a huge movement. They've noticed a movement for waste-free living, for plastic-free living, for tiny living, for a collaborative conception. And they are contacting people, experts like us, to basically help them adapt to these movements and maybe even entice the zero waste lifestyle movement, for example, to buy their products. So there is, for example, a large manufacturer of consumer goods that contacted me to so that I could give them my input on selling products that would attract or appeal to the Zero Waste community, or even changing the materials of the existing ones that they have so that Zero Waste would be interested in them.
I'm assuming that was kind of a surprise for you when larger corporations started calling you, asking you to consult for them, since most of what you've done over the years has been directed at the consumer. Is that correct?
I'm proud to see that they are interested in what we have to say. But I would say I am more surprised to see how big this movement is growing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I came over to the U.S. at the age of 18 as an au pair, and I could have never, ever imagined being the leader of this zero waste movement, of inspiring thousands and thousands of people throughout the world to embark on this lifestyle. It's really empowering, and at the same time, it's really humbling because you feel really, really small compared to how big this thing has gone.
And speaking of not necessarily expecting that it would get to the point that it is right now, what do you feel is the most unexpected gift or benefit that you've received in this entire process? I mean, aside from the global movement, but just on a personal level, living the zero waste lifestyle.
Yeah, on a personal level, it's really easy to say that. I mean, this lifestyle has been an epiphany for us, and the best aspect of it is the fact that our lives have been transformed for the better. We no longer live a life based on things, but today we live a life based on experiences. And even just saying this gives me goosebumps because it brings back all the memories, all the experiences we've been able to live thanks to this lifestyle. Just in the last 6 months, we've done some incredible things that we could have never, ever imagined being able to do.
Did you have any challenges at the beginning or any particular aspects of it that were holding you back from really diving in headfirst?
The issues I had when I started were finding alternatives, because there wasn't a book out there or a blog that would lay it out and say, this is what I've done and this is what you can do in order to live a zero waste lifestyle. And that's the reason why I've chosen to write my book, to share everything I know about the zero waste lifestyle so that other people that are interested in this lifestyle can achieve it much faster than it took us. The problems I encountered were finding, not really knowing what to do for certain products, the products that I could not find in bulk. I tested a lot of homemaking, and I think I went in too deep into homemaking. One point I was making my own bread, my own cheese, my own butter, until I found that making all these things was not sustainable for us in the long run. So I tested a lot of different things, but eventually I think, I think that the biggest challenge for us was finding our balance. And today, the zero waste is so easy. It's really automatic. It's really on autopilot. It's completely normal in our household. It's not something we would discuss if it wasn't for the fact that I talk about it all the time to shatter the misconceptions that are right, associated with it. But it was a challenge to find our balance. But I really believe that that if people apply the things that I propose in the book, people can get to zero much faster than it took us.
You were speaking of a few films and some research that you were doing early on. Is there any advice or a quote or a mantra that you found really helped you achieve this right in the beginning when you were first getting started?
I think the one that I mentioned even early in the blog, the quote from Gandhi, be the change that you want to see in this world, really strike a chord for me. It really represents everything that we've done so far. And as a matter of fact, Gandhi also said, happiness is when what you say, what you think, and what you do are in harmony. Mm-hmm. And that is what the zero waste lifestyle does for me. It really has connected all the dots for me. And it's really brought a tremendous amount of happiness just because what we do, what we say, and what we think is in harmony.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that point. And I want to touch on a few of your personal habits, your kind of day-to-day stuff, which obviously people can go and visit your blog, zerowastehome.com. And of course, as usual, I will be putting this up in the show notes so people can go online and search your name, B-E-A Johnson, and they'll come to your show notes page and they can click through all of these links. Everything that you've mentioned, the blog, the app, that will all be linked up in there. But I want to ask you, what is one of your long-standing habits that you believe has drastically improved your life?
The single thing I do every day is to make my tea. I drink green tea, and that's it makes me happy in the morning, and it really gets me going and gets my energy flowing the right way, flowing positively.
Nice.
It might be coffee for other people, but for me, it's really something that gets my day started on the right path.
Mm-hmm. And what is one habit that you're cultivating in your life right now? Something that's new?
Something that's new is actually, well, it might surprise you, but I am working on accent reduction lately. So I've been taking a class. It was a gift from my husband. Not that he wanted me to reduce my accent, but I did. So I am more mindful about pronunciating my words the right way.
Okay. Understood. I actually live with someone who's Austrian, and I will admit we've known each other for years, and it is still a challenge.
Well, it's you know, we don't give each other the gifts of stuff anymore. So
right.
This has been on my list of things to do ever since I came to the US, and I've waited 20 years to purchase an accent reduction course. So that's what the Zero Waste Lifestyle allows you to do, is to achieve your dreams or push your limits.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is one that I learned has been a serious challenge, because all of my guests are somewhere along the earth conscious lifestyle path. And so the question used to be, what is one purchase that you've made over the last 6 months for under $100 that has greatly impacted your life? And every single time the person, you know, they sit there and they think and they think and they think and they can't come up with anything because none of them buy anything.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I don't, I've only bought 5 new things in the past 3 years.
Wow.
And one of them I think is the best thing. And I'm not paid to mention the brand, but I think I need to. It's a 3-way jacket by Patagonia.
Oh.
When you live a minimalist lifestyle, you're looking for items that are multifunctional, so mm-hmm. then you don't need as many things. And for years and years, I have struggled in finding the ideal jacket, a convertible type jacket. Instead of having a closet full of jackets, I just want 3. Mm-hmm. And one of them is that Patagonia 3-way jacket can be worn as it basically has a down layer that you can wear on its own, and then it has a shell that you can also wear on its own, and the shell is waterproof. You can remove the hood, and it's a jacket that has followed me from Brazil to Iceland to Europe in the snow, in the rain. It's one jacket that does it all. I don't buy a lot of things, and when I do, I really strive to purchase that item secondhand. But I really tried to find one of those secondhand I waited 2 years and I couldn't. So then I gave up and bought it new, but it's one of the best purchases I have ever done.
Wow, wonderful. You know, I've actually had the pleasure of dealing with some people in corporate at Patagonia, and they're a wonderful company, wonderful employees, and they've got wonderful products. So I'm definitely going to look into that on my own, but also, of course, I'll link that up.
Yeah, I'm really happy that they stand behind their products.
They do.
They tell you don't buy new, or they tell you don't buy more, buy less, and they'll repair the items if you break them, and they have ways of recycling them if they are no longer usable. So I really if I'm gonna buy something new from a brand, I'm glad it had to be Patagonia.
And speaking of online resources, because I think companies like Patagonia are not only retailers, but they actually have information on their websites about how to consume less and consume better. In addition to your blog, your book, your app, and of course the films that you've mentioned earlier, what is one internet resource that you find yourself going to on a regular basis?
Google. I mean, seriously, I actually do not. I mean, again, it's from living a simple lifestyle that you eliminate all the distractions in your life to make room in your life for what matters most. So we've turned off cable. We've canceled subscriptions to magazines. We've eliminated junk mail from our lives. And we've also, well, personally, I have also eliminated the reading of all the blogs that, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of blogs out there. And today I am happy with where I am. I don't feel that I really need to push zero waste further. I'm happy with. And if I did, I would know exactly what to do. So we've eliminated these distractions, but so there are only very few websites that I do look at, and the one I do look at is Google, because whenever I have a question, that's what I fall back onto. And I'm proud to say I'll be speaking there in a month,
Oh,
so I'm
wonderful.
excited.
Congratulations. That's huge.
I often say in my talks that I am a Google girl, so it's a nice coincidence that they've invited me to speak to them.
The funniest thing about Google, this is just a side note for me personally, is I will have so many family members call me and they're tech savvy enough to do this on their own, but they'll say, "How do I do this?" or "What is the answer to this?" And I go on to Google, I search it, and then I tell them and I'm like, "You know you could have done this on your own, right?" It's ridiculous.
Yes, and there are the other websites that they are also websites that we enjoy for collaborative consumption, because that's something that's also very much part of our lifestyle. Because we live simply and minimally, and all our wardrobes fit in a carry-on. That means that when we want to go away for the weekend or want to go away for a week or a month, then all we have to do is pack up our wardrobes in our carry-on. Then we get out of the house, then we have a service that comes in and cleans the house, and then we have people that come in and basically pay for our vacations. So it's but that's really thanks to websites like VRBO and Airbnb that were able to rent our home and also in return rent someone else's when we go somewhere. We're also able to rent our car when we go away. So, for example, this summer we were gone for a month, and our car was being used by other people through Relay Rides. And that's also a great company that we like to use.
Very cool. And I know that I'm going to get this question, so I'm just going to squash it right now. So you mentioned that you have completely eliminated junk mail. What resource or two would you recommend for people to do that?
So in Europe, it's really easy to eliminate junk mail. All you need to do is put a sticker on your mailbox. But of course, in the US, it's much, much more
Yes.
difficult. And I give all the steps in the book, but in essence, it's number one, signing or opting out on optoutscreen.org. Sorry, I think it's optoutscreen.com, and then going on dmachoice.org to also get your name off mailing lists. Then you also need to go to catalogchoice.org to remove your name from any catalog that you do not wish to receive anymore. Personally, there is not one that I'd like to receive. I like to see an empty mailbox. And then for anything that's sent out directly to you, such as a charity that has your mailing address because you donated to them, or an insurance company. You need to tackle these things individually. So, for example, the charities that we've donated to in the past, I simply ask them to remove my name from their mailing list. And it's very important to also ask them that they do not share, rent, or trade your info. Otherwise, they will, and you'll receive more junk mail. And then as far as, you know, insurance companies or banks, then we of course sign up for online banking or online statements.
I knew once you mentioned that I was going to get a million questions, so I just figured I'd ask you.
Yeah, did you, I've also, people have told me about the app called Paper Karma.
Yes.
And I believe that works. I personally have, you know, I had already taken all the steps to eliminate junk mail before they came out with that app. So I don't personally need to use it, but people have said that it was quite effective.
Okay, excellent. And that is the one that I use. I think overall it is a decent service.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that are sent out to you directly, they can't do anything about. So I believe Paper Karma will be able to do the steps of the pre-opt-out screen, the DMA choice, and the catalog mailings for you. But there are things that you do have, for which you do have to pick up the phone and call the company directly.
And I will say that I personally have spent quite a bit of time on your blog in the last couple of years, and I will be buying your book. But what is another book that you could recommend for sustainable minds out there that want to shift their mindset specifically?
Well, personally, just when you asked me that question, the first one that came to my mind was Death by Rubber Duck. Mm-hmm. I think it's really eye-opening to see how many or how much toxins we're throwing into our lives, how many toxic products and materials we're surrounded with. And that, to me, really gave me the motivation to eliminate any toxic product. And today I am, you know, I feel really comfortable knowing that the products that I use to clean my house are totally harmless. I clean my house with a spray filled, a spray bottle filled with water and white vinegar. And we use Castile soap at the sink, in a pump at the kitchen sink to wash dishes, wash our hands, wash the floor, wash the dog. So we've been able to eliminate all the products we had underneath our sink. In this society, you know, we're, I think, too trustful of the or trustworthy of the marketers that are telling us that for each application, we need a different product. Mm-hmm. To clean the windows, we need a product. To clean the floor, a different product. Stainless, a different product. Bathroom, a different product. Tile, grout, etc., etc. But we found that it's not true, that simply that white vinegar can do the job, and it actually is way, way cheaper.
So we're reaching the end here. Do you have any words or parting pieces of guidance for sustainable minds out there?
I would say for those that haven't tried the zero waste lifestyle yet, I would say, you know, take it easy, change a few things at a time, and keep an open mind and a good sense of humor for the things that I recommend out there to eliminate waste. But just remember that zero waste is nothing that you might think it could be. Zero waste will change your life, not for the worse, for the better, and you'll regret having not started earlier.
I know that I've mentioned it a couple times before, but I want you to just to go right ahead and give your blog and your book a plug here.
Yeah, so my book is Zero Waste Home. My blog is under the same name, zerowastehome.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the same name again, at Zero Waste Home.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Bea. I really appreciate it. And by the way, your Instagram is pretty awesome, if I do say
well,
so
thank
myself.
You.
So definitely go and follow Zero Waste Home on Instagram and other social media platforms.
Thanks so much, Marjorie.
You've been listening to A Sustainable Mind podcast. To hear more interviews just like this one, please subscribe on iTunes or visit asustainablemind.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.